If I understand everything about everything and have not love, Paul said, I am absolutely nothing. A Christian that is mature will take God's knowledge and God's love and communicate that kind of truth to the weak believer. Amen.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Happy New Year, everyone. It's great to have you joining us as we begin a brand new year. And if you happen to be someone who makes resolutions, we think a good one is to spend time in God's Word daily. And so we invite you to join us every day in this new year and study along with us. It sounds like a great habit, right? And with that being said, let's join Pastor Bill for this first message of the new year from the Epistle of 1 Corinthians. This message is called Love Builds Up.
Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. If you're visiting with us for the very first time, we're teaching through Paul's epistle to the church at Corinth on Sunday mornings. Now, we already know that the church at Corinth, they were in such trouble. You know, the fact of the matter is they were not only divided, they were getting drunk at the Lord's Supper, they were divorcing, remarrying, horrible division. Everything that you could possibly name was happening there at this church. They were carnal. They were babes in Christ. They were living after the flesh. Now that we get to chapter 8, we bring in a brand new section of this epistle. So from chapter 8, verse 1 through 11, verse 1, Paul is going to devote all those chapters about idolatry or sacrificing meats and grains and cereals and so forth unto idols. These verses that we're covering are very, very important. For example, you say, well, Bill, we don't sacrifice things to idols. No, I know we don't. However, but listen carefully. If we have every nationality at Calvary Chapel, if you've come from a land, you know what I'm talking about, where there are things that are sacrificed to idols. You understand? So, or if you're a missionary and you're working in the field for the Lord, these 13 verses, actually those three chapters, are very, very important to us. I mean, you know, we don't have to worry about eating pork ribs or anything like that. I mean, even though they're down at that well-known idol called barbecue, we know that when we get over to chapter 10, it tells us, I think it's verse 14, it says, flee idolatry. Matter of fact, at the church of Jerusalem, whenever they had the very first council there in Acts chapter 15, I believe it's in verse 20, they said this to the Gentiles, don't eat anything with the blood in it, and any food that has been polluted by idols, don't partake of it. So this is something that was all through the New Testament. But this morning, we want to look at how far, if you're a believer, how far does your liberty in Christ really, what does it allow you to do? And what does it allow you not to do? Because this morning we're going to look at two things. We're going to look at knowledge, which puffs up. We're going to look at love, which builds up. Very, very important verses before us. And the reason here as we look through these chapters, especially these 13 verses, have you ever noticed that there's going to be a lot of gray areas? Meaning there's things in the Word of God that, well, we don't have the full text or is not specifically told what to do or what not to do. You understand? In other words, is it a sin for someone to dance? Well, it may not be today, but I mean, some of the dances that they do look sinful to me. But if, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, do you understand? Is it a sin to partake of tobacco? I mean, if you're as old as I am, whenever I was a little boy and I was walking down the streets on Sunday, you would see everyone outside of the church smoking cigarettes. Matter of fact, you would even see the pastor smoking cigarettes. I like the first service, but... Yeah. Is it sinful? Here's a gray area. Should we never go to movies or to the Bass Hall? Never have Netflix. Don't have cable TV. I mean, is it a sin to have a nose ring? I took mine off before the service. You know? Is it a sin? Is it today? It's a gray area. Is it a sin to have a tattoo? I have mom right here. You know, is it a sin to visit the Baptist churches? I mean, ask yourself that. You know, I'm teasing. I love the Baptists. I love to just rib them, if you know what I mean. Now, so we're talking about Christian liberty. And before we exercise our Christian liberty, every believer in Christ Jesus must ask themselves this: how will it affect my brother, my liberty, what I feel is okay, I'm in the gray areas, and how will it affect my sister? That's very important. You see, the limit to a believer's liberty in Christ Jesus is only love. If we violate that, we're going to hurt someone, we're going to get someone else in trouble. It says in Galatians 5:13, Paul writes, he says, "For you, brethren, you've been called to liberty," meaning you've been set free, you've been redeemed. "Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but with love serve one another." Boy, that's what we're to do. Love never fails, amen? So this morning we're going to look here at our text beginning in verse 1 about how love builds up. Let's begin. "Now concerning things offered to idols." Now, again, we're beginning a brand new section. Chapter 8 is only an introduction, okay? We get into the meat of it after these 13 verses. But Paul, remember, is now responding to a letter that was written unto him. We don't have that letter. So he's saying, okay, now you've asked me about things concerning idols and things offered to idols. He said, let me tell you what God's given me, okay? But did you notice that he said things? Because if we go through here, we're going to find that he's talking about meats that have been offered unto idols, but he uses the word things. So that means more than meats. It could be grains, it could be cereals, and so forth that are offered to idols. During the time in Corinth, you had, you know, when people invited you over to dinner and you sat down and say that here was a two believers there at dinner with somebody else, but they knew, most of them knew, that the meat that was being served had already been offered to an idol at the temple, and now they prepared it. It was there at the home. And so do you eat that food that's been offered to an idol? That's the question we're talking about. And not only that, you could be not just a social function, but if you go by a family's home during that time, every family, probably not the Jewish believers, but nearly every family, you know, had an idol, all different kinds of idols. And before a supper was served or before it was eaten, they would offer a sacrifice unto that idol to assure the blessing of the home, the blessing perhaps there of the food. And then the other problem was in Corinth, in the marketplaces, they had the food that has already been sacrificed at the temple, and there was parts left over, and so they would take it and they would sell it in the marketplace. And so you would go and buy that, and then you take it home and prepare it, whatnot. So that's the way that society was at that time. And so the thing is that they would take it, and the priest would cut it up and burn the fat, whatnot, and save the best portions for himself, and then give them a portion. And now they would say, okay, now it's been dedicated, and it was spirit-free, in other words, free of any kinds of spirits, because you've dedicated it unto these gods. You know, we think, well, Bill, that's crazy. You know, we don't do that today. And I said, I know we don't. But you know what happened? I was talking at a conference, a couple of months ago. A pastor that I really love, a Calvary pastor, great guy. He comes from a very prominent ranching family here in the state of Texas. And he is now pastoring, and he bought, I don't know, 400 or 500 acres, and he raises, like he did with his father, Angus cattle. And so he sells them to people and so forth. But in this little community he's in, there's a huge butcher shop. And so the butcher found out about these Angus cattle because they're so good. They're all, you know how you raise them and they're, what's it called today? Organic, or whatever it is. They're grass-fed, or whatever you're supposed to do to a cow, okay? And I just eat it. I don't know how to feed them, you know? And so to make a long story short, so the butcher said, listen, you know, we want to sell your beef in the butcher's market. He said, okay, well, here you can buy it. And they bought him. And all of a sudden, he called him up about 2 or 3 months later and said, listen, I want you to know that your Angus beef is the number one seller in the entire county. Better than Kroger. You understand what I'm getting at? man, people were coming from everywhere. And so the pastor goes, he said, well, why is that happening? He said, well, he said, the truth is the priest from down the street came down there and prayed over all of your beef, and it's called blessed beef, and it's the top seller. No, wait. I mean, I know it's not supposed to be a joke. That's true. So, you know, people today, I mean, they're even involved in that sort of thing. So here's the problem. You have the mature Christians at Corinth. We can call them strong Christians, mature Christians. Christians are maybe just knowledgeable believers. They believe things where the younger believers or the immature or the weak Christians, they don't believe. And so the older Christians are these mature Christians or strong Christians, whatever label you want to put on them. They believed that they could, well, I'm going to go, and there's a T-bone steak, and it's been dedicated to an idol, and I know that idols are nothing at all, and I'm going to eat that. And then when the weak believer saw him do that, it offended him. It wounded his conscience. Are you following me? Because you set something before him, and to him, man, listen, he looked at it and said, no, that's something I cannot do. So Paul says right here about that, he says, we know that we all have knowledge, meaning knowledge about idols. Matter of fact, he's probably using a phrase from the letter that was written in that, because we all have knowledge. In other words, if you are a believer, like they're believers, do we have knowledge in God's word? Absolutely. And that's how we grow. We grow in the knowledge and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we know from verse 4, that the knowledgeable Christians, maybe the mature Christians, whichever, at Corinth, they knew there was no such thing as an idol. They knew that there was nothing to it at all, that they were just empty things created by man in the minds of man. We know that, and they knew it too. But again, so they didn't have a problem eating that steak in front of even though it had been dedicated to an idol, in front of a two-day-old Christian or a weak Christian or whatever. But it offended them, it hurt them, it violated their conscience. So Paul says to the church at Corinth and to this church today, you cannot and I cannot solve this kind of problem just by knowledge. And here's the reason. Look at it. He says, because knowledge what? Knowledge puffs up, it blows itself up. But love builds up, or love edifies. So mere knowledge alone, it just puffs up. It's arrogant. That's what that word means. It's conceited. It's proud and so forth. But love is the total opposite of that. Love always does something. Love builds up. In other words, love is absolutely never arrogant. The love that God has shed abroad in the heart of the believer, Romans 5:5, okay, is never puffed up. That's 1 Corinthians 13:4, loved one. It's never arrogant. God's love in us. Amen? Never, ever, ever. So, you know, a Christian then and a Christian today, you can be so mature in knowledge, but you can be so immature when it comes to love. I'm talking about walking in love, loving people that are not mature in the body of Christ, that are still growing in the body of Christ. Man, listen, mature believers need to love them and build them up. Amen? See, you can be strong in Bible doctrine. I mean, man, you can have it down, but you can be so weak when it comes to love. Love is the absolute earmark. It is the epitome, the highest mark of a believer. Amen? That is so vital that we see that. A Christian preacher said this. He said, some Christians grow, others just swell. Now listen, knowledge alone will never be a sufficient guide for the conduct of a believer. It doesn't work that way. And knowledge alone can really make us very harsh people. We can say things just through knowledge and it not be very tender. And the reason is because knowledge, does knowledge have emotions? No. Does knowledge have feelings? No. But does love have feelings? Oh, absolutely. That means that knowledge that Paul is speaking about here must be mastered by love. And the reason is because love is superior to knowledge, will always be superior to knowledge. And you notice that's what he's talking about here. You know, that knowledge puffs up, love edifies. Loved one, listen, love is greater than knowledge. Love is a verb, isn't it? You demonstrate love. Knowledge is something you just have up there. It's not going to help anybody, really, in reference to what we're speaking of. You remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:1 about love and knowledge? He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels but have not love, I become a sounding brass, a clanging cymbal. In other words, I just make a bunch of noise if I don't have any love in my heart. And though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries, every mystery in the universe. If I have all knowledge, Paul says, if I understand everything about everything and have not love, Paul said, I am absolutely nothing. A Christian that is mature will take God's knowledge and God's love and communicate that kind of truth to the weak believer. Amen? That's what we're to do. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:15, you know, speaking the truth in what? In love. You know, you can speak the truth today in a lot of different ways. You can be mean, you can be cold, but God says, I don't want my truth taught like that. I want you to speak the truth in love. I want you to build people up. That's what love does. So the strong believers in Corinth, they were using, yeah, I've got all this knowledge. I know that idols are nothing, but they were using it without love. And when they did that, they were beating up the weaker believers. That's a horrible, horrible thing to do. Never forget, then and now, the limit of our liberty in Christ Jesus is always going to be love. It can never be anything else. We are to love people that are weak in the faith, and we're to love them into maturity. Now look at verse 2. Remember, these 13 verses, just an introduction now to the rest. It says, and if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. Isn't that a true statement? I mean, you know, I was thinking about that, and I said, man, Paul, that is so true. You know, I thought, for example, I really thought I knew women. Until I got married. Then I understood exactly why Adams, when he saw Eve, he went, whoa, man. Okay, all right. That's the second joke I have. A woman is complex. But they're a blessing, aren't they? Oh, you see how I covered myself? Yes. No, listen, if we were lost in the jungle, all of us right now, I mean, or if I was lost in the jungle, you'd be going, well, praise God, that's good. But if I was lost in the jungle, you know, I wouldn't want some PhD in astrophysicist or whatever to, I wouldn't want to meet him. I'd want to meet somebody that lives in that jungle, you know, to get me out of that jungle. Do you understand? See, knowledge can just puff you up, but sometimes it cannot help you. But love always helps you because love builds up. See, listen to me. Knowledge. We put such a great emphasis on knowledge, and I'm a firm believer in education and all those things. But we're talking here about the knowledge about idols. But the thing is that did you know that knowledge is going to pass away? All this knowledge that we've gained, it's all going to pass away. And at best, did you know that the knowledge that we possess right now, it's not only partial knowledge, but it's also incomplete knowledge. It says in 1 Corinthians 13:8, it says, love never fails. It says, but where there's prophecy, they're going to fail. Where there's tongues, one day they're going to cease. And he says, and where there is knowledge, knowledge is going to vanish away. It's going to be gone. It talks about when he who is perfect that comes, meaning when Jesus comes back, when we see him face to face, oh, man, we're going to be known even as he is known. We're going to know him like he is. Loved one, we will then understand all things. Amen. But today we don't. Not at all. At best, again, our knowledge, you know, the more you start studying something, you start realizing you don't know about it. That's what Paul is saying here. He says in verse 3, but if anyone loves God, this one, or the person who loves God, this one is known by him. Remember the Bible says in 1 John 4:9, we love him because he first loved us. 1 John 4:8 tells us this, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Now listen, all God's knowledge is based and filled, its entire foundation is love, isn't it? You see that? You see, for God is love. True knowledge, people today that don't know God, they don't have true knowledge. True knowledge is knowing God and him knowing us. So since God loves you, he says, now you're to love those that are weak. those that are weak in the faith, because that's the limit of your liberty. You speak the truth in that love. Someone put it this way: truth without love is brutality, and love without truth is hypocrisy. That's a good word. Now look at verse 4. Therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to what? Idols. Now look what Paul says. He says, we know. He's including himself and the people who are knowledgeable of that in Corinth. He says, we know that an idol is nothing. It's non-existent. That an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no other God but one. Now, when we get over to chapter 10, we're going to find out that yes, idols are nothing, but we're going to find out that behind every idol there is a voice, and that is the voice of a demon. Do you understand? So, our idols, listen, terrible. They're wicked. They're demonic. But he says here, you know, that the shape of it, the form of it. He said, listen, it's nothing. It's non-existent. You know, when you read Psalm 15, I forget what verses, but it says in there, it says, listen, you know, you carve your idols and so forth, and you put a little mouth on them, but they cannot speak. You know, you give them little ears, but they cannot hear. You give them hands, but they cannot help. And everyone who trusts in them is like them. Well, see, idolatry, even John, how did he close out 1 John chapter 5, verse 21? Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Anything that takes the place of our Savior, anything that removes him from being number one, I consider that to be an idol. Amen? Now, we know, he says, that idols are nothing. Everybody says, we have knowledge of that. We know that idols are man-made. We know that there's only one God. Remember what God told the children of Israel? There in Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6, he says, besides me, there is no God. And he goes on to say, and those who make an image, meaning an idol, all of them, all those idols, he says, are useless, and their precious things are not profit. They are their own witnesses. They neither see, they neither know. They can't even be ashamed. Who would form a god or a mold, an image that profits him nothing? What an incredible word. Amen. It profits him nothing. Listen, an idol cannot rise above the person who made it, the person who shaped it. Think about that. In Isaiah, it says, God says unto them, he says, you know, you went out into the forest and you cut down the cedar trees and the cypress trees and the pine trees, and you came back, and from that wood that you collected, you created the fire that warmed yourself, and then you cooked upon it and so forth. And then you took the wood and you started forming an idol to it. And God says, he says here, and it says, and then you fall down before that idol, and you worship it, and you pray to it, and you say to that idol, deliver me, for you are my God. Can you imagine praying to a worthless, powerless piece of wood? But yet has mankind done that? Yes. Boy, God says, oh, what futility, what hopelessness. You know, we are so today, you know, you say, well, Bill, this doesn't apply to us. It does apply to us. Have you ever just noticed, you know, does God care about the things that you eat? Well, of course he does. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. He cares about what you put in your body. You know, have you ever noticed, and I'm not trying to get off track here, but it just came to my mind. I mean, I don't ever go to Starbucks to have coffee, but I used to. But have you ever noticed what's on a Starbucks cup that you pay $6, $7, $8, I don't know, what does it cost today? Do you know what that image is of? It's, yes, thank you. It's a goddess. Why don't you look it up and see what that goddess is for? It's amazing. As a matter of fact, go back and study it back when they first created it and look at the images of the same goddess, but how she's changed. It's amazing today. You know, I don't want to shake you up, but, you know, there's a certain store that we all shop at. And, it's a great store. I love it because you can buy bulk and all different things. But did you know there's a section there now that you go in and there's meats, and those meats are for particular persuasion, and they're prepared a specific way, and they're for a specific group of people, and they have been sacrificed, the animal first in a specific way, which I'll talk about in chapter 10. It's been sacrificed to an idol, and then people buy that. They don't even know it. See, we're not free from things like people think today. But would you eat it? I'll eat it if I'm hungry. Why? Well, because, you know, I'll lay my hands and thank you, Lord, whatever we pray over is blessed. Amen.
Well, that's all of our time for today, but Pastor Bill will continue this message on tomorrow's broadcast. So please join us again, won't you? My name is Brian Whitaker. For Pastor Bill, thank you for beginning your new year with us, and may God's richest blessings be yours in 2024. Happy New Year! If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.